There are times when things get to a point and the wear and the tear make you have to say to yourself, I got to think about what's going on in the future. I got to fight, but I've got to think about what's going on. The energy's not there. Joshua was one of those people. It came to a point in his life where he looked back and he said, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to be able to lead this group. We have captured as much territory as we can. But we're just at a place where we need to stop. Each person make their decision what they're going to do with the rest of their life and move on. If you look at Joshua chapter 22, verses 5 and 6, it says, only be careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all of his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away. And they went to their tents. There came a point in time where the people had to say, okay, this is all there is that we can do. What are we going to hold on to? We're going to hold on to God's word. Because that is the truth. And whether you accept Christ or not as your Savior, you still have to live by that word. That is what we measure ourselves against. Joshua did one thing that was interesting, and you look at that one part in verse 6. I'm not going to use that one. They went to their tents, and Joshua encouraged the people, cling to God and serve him. Because there are going to be things that come on in life that just hit you unexpectedly. And what are you going to do? And now's the time to think about those things. You're going to cling to God and you're going to hold on to him. Seek his guidance. Because he is the one who sets this whole plan in motion. And for us to think that it depends upon us, ourselves, to make it happen. Partial truth in that. But the other part is, are we following what God has to say? If you look at 1 Timothy 6. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight that good fight. He never says you're out of the battle. He never gives us a sense that we've done enough. I'm okay. It was interesting that God planned this part of the march to the promised land way before it ever occurred. He allowed there to be obnoxious, threatening enemy who would be still coming after them. God said, I can't give you rest until all this is done, and you're going to need to stay sharp, even though you tell yourself, I'm done. I've taken care of everything. It's just not what it is about. If you look at chapter 23 in Joshua, it says 23 chapter, first verses 1 through 3, a long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all of their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all of Israel, its elders and its heads, its judges and its officers, and he said to them, I am now old and I am well advanced in years. And I have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. That's another thing that we get tripped up in when we reach that place where we say, I've done my bit. You look at what Joshua was saying, for it's the Lord your God who fought for you. We forget that sometimes. We keep thinking it's by my own power. None of what goes on is by our own power. We have capabilities God's given us, but once, you know, we've looked at those before too and realized those aren't something that we thought up for ourselves and pinned on our own selves and claimed to be ours. These are gifts from God that He has given us. For what? To serve in the body. As Mike was saying, service is not something that we put on the footstool and say, I'm done with it. I did my share. You folks are a testament to that. You come in every Sunday, every week, every day of the week. Somebody's doing something above and beyond the call to duty. So our service is towards God. If it wasn't for His strength, we couldn't do this. We wouldn't be able to do it, because why? One thing that we all share in common is ego. All of us. And that's something we've got to watch and be sure of. And that's why we always say, read the Word. Go back to what it says. If you look at 23, verses 5 and 6, the Lord your God will punish them. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them all out of your sight, and you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right or to the left. We got to be strong. And sometimes that just does not, it's not the first choice. Because it requires sacrifice. It requires of us getting out of our own getting out of that place that steers us and listen to more to God and say, okay, God, what will you have me do? This is not something we plan on. And sometimes we are just telling God, just be with me. Guide me through whatever this is that we're going through, with the idea that help me to serve, help me to do your will, God. And even though I am spooked, as God said, don't be dismayed and don't be frightened. The one thing he does is take care of his church. And he does make sure that we do it his way. If you look at, still in chapter 23, verse 12 and 13. For if you turn back and you cling to the remnant of those nations remaining among you, and you make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. Does that sound like someone who takes it seriously? I think God takes the body of Christ seriously. And I've got to do that too. He calls for us to watch what we put in front of our eyes, how we deal with one another. Do we listen? Or sometimes have the TV turned up too much, too high, or watch one too many Dodger games. Yes, Jeff, that can be sinful if you don't watch out. God is watching what we do because he wants to stand over us with a big hammer? No. He is preparing us, growing us up, to live in eternity with him. And he doesn't want us going, but I thought, or I didn't mean to, or this isn't that, or I don't wanna, or you gotta be kidding. He doesn't want to hear those things. He wants to hear, okay, what's my word say? I think that also shows us that God wants us to stay in the fight. And he is going to stay in that fight right with us. He's not letting us off the hook. One thing you didn't hear from Joshua, he didn't say, I have earned my way into this place. I don't need to do it anymore. He never said that. But what he did say in chapter 24 of Joshua 14 and 15. Chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that reminds us, I don't have to measure up to you guys. Who do I have to measure up to besides the God of glory? And we all do. Joshua was pretty sharp. That was not spoken flippantly. That is, it's our decision. We choose it. If you look at chapter 24, 19 to 21, but Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and forsake foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And I know many a time we look at our Christianity, our salvation, and think of it in terms of I can do what I want because I know I'll be forgiven. And we even start thinking, I'm right. I can do it. But if I tell God I'm so sorry and I get away from it for a couple days and then I'm right back to it, and I lean back on God, and I shouldn't have done it. I knew I shouldn't have. But we come to that point where we realize it's me that made a choice. God's punishment boy, I think he has a lot more to do with trying to get our attention as opposed to just punishing for punishing's sake. He is somebody who cares enough about us to say, get back in that fight. Do it as I say you should do it. And if you fall on your face, seek my forgiveness. For my son died on the cross for you. Because sometimes we want to just say, I don't deserve to be here. I'm a scumbag. And that's a given. You're not introducing anything new to God. What he wants us to go to is get to that point where you say, okay, I'll do your way. We all have that. Holy cow. Haven't met a perfect Christian yet. I keep hoping I'll be the first one. Reader's Digest. I'll do it. I can do it if I just do yada yada. 24:31. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. There were people there who they could attest to a lot of these things going on. A lot is accomplished. But those people go. People move away, pass away, whatever it might be. And we are still left with a place of saying, okay, this stuff did happen. This goes on. I think God does have a way of saying that I give you opportunity to grow. I challenge you in a ton of different ways to grow. But you've got to do it. We are testaments to each other around us. People will look at you and figure out, do they mean it or not? Have they shown that new life in Christ? We depend on each other. I guess that's why it's the body. We depend on each other in order to keep us going, keep us in the fight, because one of these days, even at work, they will replace you. Not only that, but your history will be set in stone, because you can't change it after a while. You just don't have the opportunity or the energy or want to go back to work. If you look at Judges 2:10, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. That kind of stuff happens. That's why it is so important to get that word drilled in and refer to it more often than not and come to a point where we say, okay, God, I'll do it your way. Because another generation is going to come up and they are looking and evaluating and determining whether all this Christianity stuff is really what it says it is. Or does it go just so far and then it's like, I got to find something else to fill in the space. Talks in 11 to 14 in that same chapter 2 of Judges. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then they went after other gods. That same stuff happens to us. If we think that Satan is just stuck on some old ways of doing things, and that's it, it's not the whole picture. He just adapts and gets used to our styles, my weaknesses, my problems, my jealousies, and attacks me on those things. And each of us can say, nah, that's just comic book stuff, or that's just a neat little story somebody dreamt up. That's not the case. It happened in Judges. It continued to happen in Kings and Chronicles and all the rest, and the major prophets. You look in there, and it's just constant. You have a group that comes in, takes care of business, then somehow loses track of inside of what is important, what's the goal. Look at chapter 3 of Judges, verses 1, 2. And 4. Now these are the nations that the Lord left. Listen to this. He left these to test Israel by them. That is, all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the nations of the people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. In verse 4, they were for the testing of Israel, to know whether Israel would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. A test. Doggone it, another test. I'm afraid, folks, it is part of our lifestyle that God has put in place to get us to come to a place where we will say, okay, God, I'll do it your way, just like Joshua. But we need to take in that fact that even though it is tough, it does not mean that God has forgotten us. It does not mean that he has let us go or doesn't care. He wrote this book so that over 2,000 years later we could read the same old story and realize that we have a God who cares about us and is going to grow us up. We just get to a point where we got to listen to him and follow what he says. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3, I'll bet you, Bill, before you go to work, you put on your uniform, you get your weapon on, you get all your tools and accoutrements, put them on your belt, and you go out the door, ready to deal with anything that comes. But you don't take half your gear because it's too heavy. Or you don't get up too late so you can't take care of business before you head out. You realize that you have a duty, a place of protecting yourself and protecting others. And that's what God does with us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Thank God it's not all up to us. And it is up to his might, because we can rely on his strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Schemes. It's still, to me, a scheme is something you develop in order to trick somebody. You've got to trick them. You don't have the strength or the power to go at them just straight on physically. You got to think of something to trip them up. And that's what Satan does to us. We're outside that door. We're inside the door. It occurs. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Just changes the whole scheme of things. There is an enemy out there. There is an enemy that is in the heavens. They have ranks and titles. They have positions and duties. And And if you don't believe it, you've fallen for a good scheme of his. What was that book? Screwtape Letters. Should read that sometime. Gets you to start thinking a little bit about how Satan looks at things. And it's interesting. Because he does look for our weak points. And that's why Christ says, that's why Paul was writing in the letter, put on the whole armor of God. Take up the whole armor that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having put on that belt that kind of keeps everything all tied in and straightened up, and put on that breastplate of righteousness. The shoes bring us a peacefulness. We can get a firm grip on life. Breastplates allow us protection for our vital organs. There's stuff in our lives that is essential to us. We've got to guard it. We can't be just trying anything that goes on. All you've got to do is listen to the TV. Some of the things that are going on around this world right now are just unbelievable. God's saying, put on that breastplate and that helmet and the shoes. Protection. Swords for advancing. Put on that word. Take that word. Because he's out there after us. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And doing something that we hear about all the time, and this little church needs it too, prayer and supplication. Talk to God. Give it to him. There are sometimes you're going to be wrestling through the night with something that you just cannot come up with a solution. Give it to God. Pray in supplication for each other. Doesn't matter where we are. I think sometimes we think we got to be in a cathedral. I remember going to was Vatican. My gosh, they had inside the building, they had probably about 4 or 5 masses going on, and they had people wanting to get in there and just have a chance to take pictures of the Vatican inside, where probably God where God lives. God doesn't live there. God is in our hearts. He hears our words. He knows our prayers and our needs. And it's still interesting to me. If you look at verses 19 and 20 of that same chapter in Ephesians. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth, opening it boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul needed boldness. I'd say it sounds like he gets a little bit spooked, or overwhelmed, or deals with problems like we have. Food and clothing, place to stay, prayer. We can all do it, and the body needs it. And just one last thing. Right next door is Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of David, who was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. He's our example. If we can be better than Christ, you don't need the book. But if you can't make it without him, you need the book. So as the baton gets passed on at times, as Joshua was going through things where it just, I don't know, the question marks that come up, know that God has not missed a beat with us. He knows exactly what's going on.